Hello, listeners. This is your favorite program, Everyday English. In our previous program, we said a lot about nouns used in both count and non-count senses, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
One of the nouns in this class that we looked at was glass.
I remember that, but I don't think we said all that needed to be said about glass, did we?
I wouldn't be able to say that.
I don't know enough about nouns.
Neither do I. This much I do know, that glass can be used in the count sense to refer to a drinking utensil.
Then let me add briefly that as a count noun, it can also be used to refer to spectacles, as in this sentence.
If you really want fashionable glasses you can afford, go to Slister Fashions Lenscope.
Fashionable glasses to wear. Glasses is plural count. In this sense, the noun is always plural.
Prof, I'd like to venture an example for what it is worth. It is with timidity I attempt this, since I am not at all certain I am right.
Be venturesome, Kofi. Don't be cowed. We're all here to learn from one another. What is the word?
Fire. I think it has two senses.
I think Kofi is right. The noun fire can be used as a non-count noun in a non-count sense.
That's what I mean.
For example?
All the houses in this area have been insured against fire.
Good. Well done. And that is the non-count use, you mean?
Yes. The noun fire cannot be used with an indefinite article. It cannot be used in the plural either.
Thus, the following sentences are wrong.
All the houses have been insured against fires.
This house has been insured against a fire.
But, as rightly suggested by Kofi and Adjo, the noun fire can be used in a countable sense, in which case it has both singular and plural forms, and its singular form must be used with the indefinite article A. For example,
Accra has seen at least 3 fires only this year.
As if this were not enough, there was a serious fire this morning near Tinkele Avenue at Asofloshi Old Market.
2 occurrences of fire as count in this short dialogue. Now, having been educated on countability by my own students, Kofi and Adjo, I feel encouraged to suggest fresh examples.
Your first example, if we may have the temerity to ask.
Temerity? I hope you don't feel browbeaten by my innocuous remarks. Temerity to ask?
We didn't mean any harm, Prof.
We may have used the wrong word. Forgive us if we did.
We were trying to practice some of the beautiful and musical words that you have taught in everyday English. It is not a bad thing, is it?
I, at any rate, am not ashamed to venture to follow the steps of my professor. We didn't say temerities or a temerity. Someone would have said, if we may have the temerities to ask.
Or even, if we may have a temerity to ask.
We said neither of these, and we think we deserve your congratulations.
Wait a minute. What is the morale of all this?
The morale is that you have organized your everyday English lessons so beautifully and efficiently that your students can venture to come out with illustrations you haven't given.
The word temerity is, after all, an abstract noun used by us in a non-count sense. Not to say that it sounds musical, nice, and professional.
And more important, Prof, temerity is an example of an abstract noun which is used in a non-count sense only. You have spent very little or no time at all on this subcategory of nouns.
The tables are now turned.
Impossible. We cannot turn the tables on the professor.
Yes, you can. Professors are also students, you know, only more senior. They too are learning all the time, perhaps not to use musical and rhythmic words like temerity, but other simpler one. But I can assure you that though not feeling intimidated or browbeaten, I have learned a lot about the noun temerity.
You haven't abandoned your original intention before you were interrupted.
No, no. I was going to discuss the grammar and usage of the words beer and sugar, but I will next week. So I hope our listeners will remember to tune in next week and listen to us if they have time. Till then, it's goodbye from us.